fundraising and the Democrats' email link. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. So the head of the Democratic National Committee has announced she's leaving after this email's leaked. The role of a party chair is more than politics. It's also about money. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more from Philadelphia.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz is stepping down as chair of the Democratic National Committee now that leaked emails seem to back up what the Bernie Sanders campaign has complained about all year. He accused the committee of playing favorites during the primary race and undermining his campaign. While the DNC chair has a political role in planning conventions and setting debate schedules, a party chair also coordinates fundraising for candidates for all sorts of local, state, and national races. That fundraising might get a bit harder for the successor of Wasserman Schultz, since the leaked emails also appear to show some donors being dismissed and mocked by committee staff. Other messages detail some of the cushy perks handed out to big-time donors, things like tickets to White House events as well as the Broadway musical Hamilton. Wasserman Schultz says she'll end her run as DNC chair once the convention is over.
There are differences of opinion on how much credence to give reports that the Russian government was behind the leak of the Democratic National Committee emails. The New York Times cites researchers who have identified Russian intelligence agencies. The Washington Post notes alarm about Russian hacks among national security officials, but emphasizes that some data security experts remain skeptical that Russian spies were the source. Now let's get a read on the market psychology. Karen Cavanaugh is market strategist at Voya Investment Management. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So the guardians of interest rates are meeting tomorrow and the next day to set interest rate policy. Expecting bombshells?
I wouldn't hold my breath on that one, David. I think we're going to hear some of the same old things we've heard in the past. We're going to wait for more certainty. There's too much political uncertainty. So I'm not expecting much from them.
All right. The data we do have is profits and losses for corporations, so-called earnings season. What do you think? We're about a quarter of the way through that?
Yeah, we're about a quarter of the way through. And the good news is that companies are doing better than anticipated. So while we still are looking at slightly perhaps negative growth for the quarter over quarter, companies are doing better, and that's good news because it looks like we already hit the earnings trough. Last quarter seems like it was the worst news is now behind us, and we can look forward to perhaps better, stronger corporate earnings in the future.
Well, indeed, Sprint profits today were higher than expected. Apple and Caterpillar results are tomorrow. Karen Cavanaugh at Voya Investment Management, thank you.
You're very welcome.
China has shut down several online news operations, including ones run by Chinese giants Sina, Sohu, NetEase, and Yifeng. From Beijing, here's the BBC's Celia Hatton.
Media censorship has reached new heights in China after the authorities unanimously shut down some of the country's largest online news sites, reducing the Chinese internet giants to simply reprinting official reports. The news portals affected by the closures garnered some of the largest audiences in China. Millions relied on the investigative and regional news posted there, one of the last places to find independent reporting inside the country. Since President Xi Jinping came to power, the ruling Communist Party has implemented strict controls on all forms of communication within the country.
Also today, Nintendo of Japan went out of its way to say it is not going to profit all that much from its one-third stake in the company that does Pokemon Go, the mobile game that's taking the world by storm. Nintendo's stock, which had run up sharply, fell nearly 18% in Tokyo today. Enterprise City is a town in North Texas where the government and every business are run by paid students. Reporter Bill Zeeble from KERA in Dallas tells us that Enterprise City was launched to teach government and commerce, and now that Texas requires financial literacy courses, the tiny city is getting new attention.
In a large school classroom in Richardson, Texas, just north of Dallas, Enterprise City is bustling. Fifth graders like 11-year-old Jay Thompson from Lakeside Elementary run everything.
I'm the owner of the sports shop.
Jay's just finished signing employee paychecks. In real life, he's never even written a check.
I give it to them, they go to the bank, deposit it, and then they can go buy something. This teaches us how to sign checks in the real world so we know later on in our life.
Jay's dad, Dan, is a teacher who's brought seven previous fifth grade classes to Enterprise City.
There are so many kids that think they know what their parents do with their money. And then when they're actually put in that position, they realize, oh, it doesn't just grow on trees. Maybe it actually is limited. There is accountability here that, just like in the real world, if they actually overspend, they do have to return some of the items.
Students can really take stuff home, like T-shirts, with their Enterprise City salaries, but only if they have the money in the bank. That's what 10-year-old Farah Kader wants more of. So the Enterprise City jewelry store owner bought this live radio spot on the station that runs nonstop throughout Enterprise City.
Jewelry shop, jewelry shop.
What are
you doing right here? You can buy all sorts of things like bracelets and some rings.
We wanted something that would stick in people's heads. Whenever you sing Christmas carols, it like gets stuck in your head. So we chose it to the tone of Jingle Bells.
Farah has entrepreneurial ambitions.
I kind of want to be a CEO of my own company, like a technology company.
Actually, she wants to be like Steve Jobs. If Farah achieves a fraction of his success, that could be worth singing about. In Richardson, Texas, I'm Bill Zeibel for Marketplace.
And the confirmed number this morning, $4.83 billion, the amount Verizon is paying for Yahoo. This is for the famous parts, the email service, Yahoo Finance and sports and so forth. Once upon a time, Yahoo was worth $125 billion. Yahoo has a bunch of cash on hand and a stake in China-based e-commerce giant Alibaba. When the deal consummates, these leftovers will be turned into some kind of investment company with a new name. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.